Hello everyone, welcome back to my podcast episode 3. Firstly, thank you to everyone who's been listening to the episodes, and I guess now you can watch them as well. Surprise, je suppris. All the episodes will be on my Patreon on the lowest, on all tiers. So yeah, if you really want to see the visuals to me talking, go crazy. They are on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/MicahsKSpot. I was so nervous last week. It was so nerve-wracking just to I'm like, do people want to hear me talk? Like, what am I going to say? Am I going to run out of things to say? And, you know, we made it. And I'm so glad so many people have enjoyed it. Please remember to rate the podcast. Leave a comment as well if you can. You know, engagement. And today it is so fucking hot. Oh my God. Like, it's the weather. London just decided, oh, we're going to be hot now. But yeah, I'm hoping this week is smoother with the upload process. Yes, last week I was rattled. I uploaded the podcasts onto the distribution thing, Audio Boom, only for it to say, oh, your request is, you know, being processed. I was like, oh my God, that was 10 minutes before the launch time I wanted. And I was thinking, how long is it going to take? And it was saying it's going to take 2 to 5 working days. I said, what? No, that's not going to work for me. And lo and behold, I refreshed it at 5 past or 10 past. And it was like, your episodes are live. I was like, thank you. I was so relieved. And then obviously I published them, only for me to publish the wrong audio with me talking to myself. I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous. And I was like, oh my God, people are gonna... I was fucking losing it. The links weren't working. And I was like, you know what? Thank God I'm consistently who I am off camera and on camera. Like, I wasn't saying, oh, fuck this shit. Why am I doing this? I was just being me. But it was nerve-wracking because you never know what you're going to say, you know? But anyway, we made it to another week. And today, as you can see from the title, I'm going to talk about ITZY. And I wanted to wait until, you know, they released their comeback. I was going to talk about them before because I've got so many things I want to talk about now, which also adds to my point that I think one episode a week is not enough with how much I have to say at the moment. So one will be the minimum. Who knows if I want to do more than that in a week. But yeah, that's how I'm going to operate from now. And I think that's more realistic, especially when you're starting off, you know, get the viewers in, get the listeners in. So for people who don't know, and this is my brief recap, I've got Wikipedia right here. I'm going to just touch on it a little bit. ITZY are a 5-member girl group who are from JYP Entertainment, one of the biggest companies in Korea. One of the big 3/big 4, JYP, SM, HYBE, and YG Entertainment. So when ITZY debuted in 2019, they were so... I actually used the music in the previous episode. They were so... In the New Jeans episode, they had a lot of brash energy in your face. Super colorful videos. You know, everything just felt... They made a statement at debut. And their debut song, Dala Dala, I think it got 8 wins or something. Once again, referencing the music shows I've mentioned the other day. You know, where these artists, they perform weekly on these shows. I don't know if it's 8, but once again, they won a lot. And then the next singles, they had Not Shy, they had so many singles, and they were all hits. So they started off super strong and kind of ushered in the fourth generation of K-pop, and had a very kind of specific message around confidence, self-empowerment, and just feel good music. Now, obviously 2019, this is also crazy. A lot of groups actually did debuted in 2019. But because of COVID, I forget that really they were coming up during COVID, because it feels like they were there before that. I don't know. It's such a weird time when you look at the COVID days. But they then really had a lot of artists that debuted around that time kind of lost out opportunities on touring and growing as artists because they had to operate within these COVID rules. Oh, construction work, yay. But yeah, so they were doing quite well up until, so about 2 years in, let me just double check exactly when it will be. So 2 years in, the singles were still performing quite well. But then the ball kind of dropped when... And you know what? When I say the ball dropped, right, let me just mention something as well. Something that a lot of K-pop fans need to realize, that Twitter and YouTube views are not indicative of sales and a group's actual success and what they're looking at, which I'm also going to do a podcast episode on. But I feel like something like that needs a little bit more research than just talking off the cuff. But yes, but also you could also say reputationally, the numbers are one thing, but in the zeitgeist, if no one thinks you're cool, are you successful? If that makes sense. You know, this is coming out of nowhere and I haven't done a lot of research in it, but Tate McRae, for example, is successful. I saw she was at the O2. She had a whole concert there. So for you to fill up that stadium arena on your own shows you have success. But in the pop landscape, people are like, ugh. And I'm one of those people sometimes. I'm like, ugh. But, you know, you could argue, is she successful or not? On paper, she is. But if the people aren't with you, yeah. But then again, it's sometimes the people are with you and you're not making money. So, I don't know. So, anyway, with ITZY, in 2021, so now we're 2 years into the debut, they released Mafia in the Morning. Which I like, but you know, the vibe was a little bit, they've gotten a bit darker, the music video, you know, they're wearing black leather. This is so different, such a contrast to their debut era, where everything was so bright and colourful and feel good. And it did have mixed reviews, and it didn't sell amazingly well, but you know, they were still okay. Now, I'm just looking at this now, and I'm noticing there's a huge gap from this and the next release, which was in... So, they released the Mafia album in 2021, in April, April 30th. Their next album was July 2022, their next EP. So, there's quite a gap there. Oh, they did release an album, actually. Sorry, they released an album as well in 2021. Okay, that's why there's a gap between the EPs. Okay, so with Crazy in Love, which is the next album, that had Loco. Now, this is when things start to get a bit downhill. Even though you can't call it downhill because the sales, once again, the last one with Mafia in April sold 300 and something thousand copies. The next one, Crazy in Love, sold 642,000, the album. So they've gone up. They've nearly doubled in sales. But a lot of people don't love Loco. They kind of see it as like, oh, yeah, Loco. But then it was a bit more upbeat and colorful. But it did feel like, okay, people really wanted their heydays from their rookie years. In this first four singles, people really wanted that back. But once again, no, their sales are coming in. Then the next album, which was Checkmate. Oh baby, so Checkmate, I'm only just noticing now, actually sold 1 million copies, so it did very well. But this is a double-sided coin. Let me tell you what happened. So before the main single came out, called Snickers, not Snickers the chocolate, Sneakers I should say, the shoes, they released these concept pictures which were super royal and like everything looked very cunt, and everyone was like, oh my god, wait, what's ITZY coming with? This looks amazing. only for them to come with this song that is literally like a kid's like rhyme, put my sneakers on, like it was just not it for the international fans. And that's another thing as well. Obviously, I speak from the perspective of an international fan. Duh. But in Korea, oh, they ate it up. And now I'm looking and wondering, like, oh, that's probably exactly why the song sold, the album sold 1 million copies. And it also debuted number 8 in the Billboard 200 in America. So, and that was the first top 10. So then it begs the question, was the single a bad idea? No. It brought success in terms of accolades. But reputation-wise, this, I feel like, is when people then started going, oh, no, what's going on with ITZY? They've lost it. Things are not right. And looking at the story now, and I'm looking at the numbers on my laptop, I can kind of see how that kind of was the beginning of the end in a sad way. The next mini album, Cheshire, came out just a few months after, about 8 months afterwards, these singles, I don't even know them. They had a pre-release English single, which I should do a podcast episode about English songs, because a lot of the times you get English songs that are so bad and just gibberish, and they dumb it down for the American market. Sorry, no shade, but Americans, you know what I'm talking about. They dumb it down for that, and they lose a lot of the grandeur of what makes K-pop K-pop, you know. Even in the production styles and the chord movements, everything just sounds like retail music for the most part. Anyways, they released that single, Boys Like You, which I don't know, and they released Cheshire, which I don't know either, that well. But the album sold just over 1 million copies as well. So I was thinking, okay, we're doing pretty well here. We're on a little ride. And then listen to this. The next EP sold 1.2 million copies. And that's technically, that is their best selling mini, which I didn't even know this. So now we're in 2023 July, and the main single was Cake, which I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't like either. And the funny thing is, if you look at the YouTube videos, right, for all these main singles, I'll double check it now, I'm pretty sure their views are abysmal. Let me just see, because like I was saying earlier, a lot of K-pop fans measure the metric of success not with sales as any normal people would, but with YouTube views. Okay, Cake has 105 million, so that's really good. Let me see how much the other one has from Cheshire. Because also the views could have grown over time, but I feel like at that time, people would have wanted more. Okay, Cheshire also has 164. Okay, let's see how much Not Shy has. Not Shy has 213. That's from the debut era. And then Dala Dala, of course, has 330 million. Okay. And Wannabe, which is also one of the biggest singles, has 561 million views. So you can see why people measure 100 million as like, oh, because obviously it's been 100 million over time. But at the time, they would have seen the growth not as strong as the debut songs, because the fact that Wannabe has 500 million views is crazy. But anyway, Kill My Doubt comes out. Cake, which is another single that I don't really hear much about in the K-pop community. I've not really yet. There's not much I really know. But anyway, the sales show a different story. They were obviously being successful. Now we get to Born to Be. Born to Be was the first album without one of the members, Leo, who is basically the main vocalist, I would say. Oh, I should do a video about positions as well in group and the impact of that, because some groups have abandoned positions. What are the pros and cons in that? Anyway, right. I was about to say she was on vacation. No, she was on hiatus for personal issues. I think she was out for like a year. And Kill My Doubt was her first album without her. But obviously at this point, you know, it was still the best-selling album. But at this point, sorry, am I reading this right? Oh, yeah, no, I'm lying. Sorry, no, Kill My Doubt was with Leah. But yeah, Born to Be, which is the next one, was without Leah. Now, this is when things start to tumble. And now you can see, you could argue the effect of With Sneakers 3 albums ago. Did that affect people falling off? You know, did people start to feel a little bit betrayed by the inconsistency of the promotional pictures and what the fans actually got in the end? Because, would you believe it, Born to Be only sold 583,000 copies. And obviously you've lost one member as well. You're one member down. And they had a single, Untouchable, which I know. And it's a little bit of a, you know, EDM kind of dance kind of song. But at this point, it felt like they had lost what was their lyrical kind of USP and what made them, you know, pull in fans who thought they were saying something different. Because how can you go from, like, you know, Not Shy and Wannabe and whatever to then talking about Sneakers and then to talk about Cake and then to talk about, okay, Untouchable, at least lyrically is there, but I think sonically just sounds a bit more generic. And at this point, you know, there's several discussions of ITZY has done this. And now this ties into my second episode. By 2024, New Jeans is now at the rack, just soaring. And remember, they're bringing in this sonic sound that's so fresh and that's so laid back and dreamy vocals, which is not what ITZY does. And it also shows the impact of, as you are moving as an artist and doing whatnot, competition is coming, and other people, what made you special now is not what people want to hear anymore. So it reflects in the sales, and it also shows how fast the industry moves. And that's what people are now seeing and feeling, especially with the music video views as well. They've definitely gone down. Their sales have gone down as well. And to be one member down, and then to feel like your artistic identity doesn't really resonate with the public anymore in such a short amount of time, in just 4 years, it's like, oh, what are we doing now? Like, what the hell are we going to do now? Which is kind of sad, you know, because they kind of, the same way that New Jeans burst on the scene, I feel like ITZY burst on the scene as well. And it kind of feels like, oh man, like, you didn't really get to reach that peak prime where then you can suddenly now just relax, knowing that, you know, you're like, oh, we've done it. Because even their concerts, I reacted to one of their concerts, right? And this was in, I think the concert was 2023 or 2024. Anyway, it was four members. Did I react to the four member one? No, it was five. And girl, they had two outfit changes. I've never seen anything like it. I was like, where is the budget for these girls? Like, they are one of your biggest sellers in your company, and you're giving them the bare minimum for this concert. So, you know, it just proves my point that they never really had those moments of, oh, we've made it. Our concerts are eating. We're touring everywhere, high quality. We're selling. We've had even more million albums. We've had another, that's another thing as well. It didn't feel like they've continued to give us other strong singles that were major viral hits since the debut era. And a lot of people also measure success that way. And then with Sneakers, yes, it was a hit, but then it was very polarizing. Whereas the other ones, it feels like everyone loved them. So it kind of feels like, oh, you lot have not had a hit since you started. And that's kind of fucked up. But anyway, so Born to Be comes out. The sales aren't great. The views aren't great. And then I think they kind of, I mean, the break felt longer than this, but they were only gone for 10 months in K-pop. That is kind of long though. And then they came back with Gold. Now, Gold was released in October 15, 2024. I was in Brazil, and oh my God. So, you know, before this as well, let me just add some other context. I'd kind of gotten into ITZY as well. Throughout the years, I've always kind of had them on my peripheral, and I was kind of waiting to, I'd always listened to a comeback, you know, because I'd done quite a deep dive in their music. So then I'm in Brazil, I was like, oh, let me listen to this album, ITZY's comeback. And you know, it felt like for the last year and a half we've been waiting for them to have that moment. I listened to Gold, the title track. I think, okay, this is a little bit different, it's a little bit fresher, but it wasn't, I don't know, I wasn't obsessed with it. Now, the album tracks, yo, for people who know my Patreon and know how I rate albums, I give every song a rating out of 10. I try to be as objective as possible, because people argue, oh, music is subjective. Well, yeah, no fucking shit is subjective, but certain things are objective in terms of quality. Whether it's the lyrical content, how creative your melodic lines are, how good the production is, and good, I mean, in terms of, is it original? Are you doing something that surprises the listener? Are you using sounds that are not easy to find and generic and typical? Yes, you can have generic, typical music and still it be quote-unquote good, but objectively, it's not something that deserves a high rating. That's how I kind of approach the process. And rarely do I give a 10 on an album track on first listen when I'm reviewing. ITZY, with Gold. So let me actually just go through the track list so I can just relive the whole experience again, which is what I love about recording my reactions, that I get to relive it as well. So also let me add, Gold, the album, was basically six new songs and 5 other re-recorded songs with Leah back in there. So it didn't really feel like a full album. To me, it's more like an EP with, you know, extended new versions of the other songs with them as just as 4. So Gold, okay. Next song, Imaginary Friend. Also, the video for this song and the choreography, if you're just wanting to see something really beautiful that feels like just unique and very non-K-pop in a way, I think it's one of their best choreos, so elegant and slow moving. That hit me and I was like, oh, and the vocal delivery, they just sound like they've grown. And one thing I'll give JYP for, they have some of the best mixing and engineering you hear in K-pop. The music in your ears, the way the voices sound just sounds phenomenal. Imaginary Friend, I think I gave it like an 8 or a 9. I think I gave it something like that. And then Bad Girls Are Us was a 10. I lost my shit. I was like, oh my God. Then Supernatural, I also gave it 10. I was like, what the fuck? And then 5, I also gave it 10. I was like, okay, this is crazy. So they came back with heat. And unfortunately, they kind of fell victim to the title track not being as strong as the album track, which in turn means people are not going to go check out the rest of the album naturally because they're like, oh, I didn't like the title track. And I don't know how people can do that. I guess, you know, you either have it or you don't, or you care about finding out the rest. Like, I never want to miss out on a song I'm going to fall in love with. So I've listened to so many albums and I've been on live listening to so many songs because I'm just like, there's no better song, no better feeling than falling in love with a song. And they came out the gate with that. And I just thought, what a shame. The title track, the pick was the title track. And yes, they did get to work with Dem Joints, who's one of the biggest producers in the world, and especially in K-pop, he produces for everyone. But I don't think he gave them the best work, to be honest. And the album suffered for that. However, it did get a slightly more sales than the previous one, with just over 700,000. So people returned. Also, they returned because Leah returned. They were curious to check it out. But I think the music videos and the quality of music was the best they'd put out. And now I'm only making this episode because so they just come back 4 days ago with their new EP, and we don't know the sales as of yet. I think it's been doing well, but obviously it's not been a week yet. Titled Girls Will Be Girls. Oh, ITZY, once again. Okay, I liked this title track more, slightly more than Gold. The title track is also called Girls Will Be Girls, and the rest of the album, once again, Kiss and Tell, great song, a little bit cunty, you know, just has that oomph to it. And a couple of other songs I like as well, but not as much as I loved everything on Gold. But once again, it feels like, I don't know if they picked the right song. And I'm like, does the label know what they're doing here? Have they reached a point now where they're a little bit insecure about what we're doing? Because once again, they led us astray. Their release is beautiful. Album trailer, 6 minutes long, where one of the members is like being like, I kind of, how can you even say, she's kind of like running away from this big teddy bear, I don't know, and then they all end up in the road on a cliff that looks like somewhere, like, and it's nighttime, and they're doing this choreo and it looked very artistic, and I was like, wait, I was living for that, only for the main title track to be just really repetitive. And although I like it, once again, I think there is a danger in betraying the trust of your listeners with teasing them with something that they're not actually getting. So this is the second fucking time you're doing this, and you've not chosen the best song as a title track. If I was to pick the title track, I did say in my reaction, but I can't remember if I'm going to pick the same one now. I think I would have picked maybe I probably would be Kiss and Tell. I think Kiss and Tell has more presence and it's a bit stronger, and I feel like they're not taking the right risks. They are basically now trying to acquiesce and just like, oh, let's just do what everyone else is doing so we can go viral. And you know what, maybe because I don't run a label, I don't know what the pressure is like where you feel like you're stuck between should we take a risk so they do something different, or follow the trend, try and get a number one, and then maybe do something else. I don't know, but these girls are now, this is their 6th year And we all know the shelf life for being a pop act doesn't go for very long. And especially in K-pop, where things are so much more faster, I would like for them to have a moment where I don't think they'll ever go back to their heyday, simply because we're now in the fifth generation of K-pop and there's so many other groups who are pushing the boundaries, like Kyrus, for example, who releasing a country-influenced K-pop song as a debut song. Like, what do you mean? Like, you know, things have moved on. But I hope this album is a little bit more successful than the previous one and they get rewarded, because above all else, and, you know, regardless of how you feel about, you know, the songs they're doing, the quality is strong. I don't think even in the songs and the albums I'm not as familiar with, I don't think the quality ever dipped. The quality of production has always been quite good, and I think they deserve some success for that. And also, losing a member for a year or however long it was is, and the fact that they carried on, is commendable, you know. But that's all I wanted to say, really. I hope this is a good era for them, and I hope you guys enjoyed my little go through there, my yapping moments. And anyone who has extra things to say, please let me know in the comments as well. If I mess up anything, don't correct me. But, you know, I think that's my general perceptions of what it has been through. And yeah, they deserve more. They deserve more. And I'm hoping this era is a good one for them. Anyway, thank you for listening. And if you're watching, thank you for watching. And yeah, see you next week. Bye.